This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I feel like a news anchor when I say it that way. I'm sure I don't sound like one. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me. And as a reminder to all of our listeners, you can email questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I'm taking your questions today. So I've got a couple of questions here. One is from Dina. Dina emails me, says, love your podcast, Layla. Thank you, Dina. Thank you for listening and thank you for writing. Dina says, it is more convenient for me to take strontium in the AM on an empty stomach and before I take my multi, which contains calcium. Is this effective or must strontium be taken in the evening? Dina, great, great, great question. And I get this question a lot, even from our patients and clients. So thank you for asking. Yes, you can do as you are, taking strontium in the morning on an empty stomach. And after about an hour later or so, you could probably go on to have breakfast, as long as it's not a big calcium-containing breakfast like a yogurt or something like that, okay? The amount of calcium in your multi does make a difference. So taking your multi at lunchtime and at dinner time is probably better. And you know what? A lot of the calcium that we take, whether from what we get from our diet or from a supplement like a multi or a separate calcium supplement, our body uses it for repair processes while we sleep. So that's why it's advantageous to take calcium more towards the evening. And because strontium is typically advised to be taken in the evening at bedtime, but we know how it interferes with calcium, what you're doing is fine. Taking strontium in the morning, I think, is actually a better idea for many women. So continue doing that. That's perfectly fine. And by the way, Dina, Dr. Hoffman only prescribes or recommends strontium citrate, which is what we sell in our supplement department, to those women and men, believe it or not, there are men with osteoporosis, only if you have full-blown osteoporosis. Dina, I don't know what age you are, and I don't know if you have osteoporosis or osteopenia, but strontium is indicated for osteoporosis only. If you have osteopenia, I would stop taking it, please. There are other more recommended supplements that you can take, and actually the same for osteopenia as for osteoporosis. You can take something like Ostera, which is hops. Helps to slow the turnover of bone, not the way a bisphosphonate medicine like an Actonel or a Beneva or a Fosamax would do, but in a much more healthier way. You're probably saying, oh, hops like as is found in beer? Well, women who are regular beer drinkers actually have somewhat lower rates of osteoporosis, which is a very interesting finding, wouldn't you say? Now, I don't recommend you become a beer drinker. Anyway, so for osteopenia as well as osteoporosis, I would recommend Ostera is very good. Make sure you're getting adequate amounts of vitamin D. Now, that could vary for the population. You may need 2,000 IU a day because the amount in your multi is not going to cover it. Or you may need as much as 5,000 IU a day. And if you're quite low in vitamin D If your vitamin D blood test and the proper blood test is 25 hydroxy vitamin D, not 1,25 dehydroxy vitamin D. That's a different test. It's 25 OH in parenthesis, which means hydroxy, 25 OHD is the proper test. You definitely want it over 20, but gee, Dr. Hoffman would even say anything below 40, we call deficiency, not just insufficiency, whereas your regular doctor would say, as long as you're above 20 NG in your bloodstream, that it's okay. No, we disagree with that. It's got to be over 40. And you know what? Optimal levels of serum vitamin D, anywhere between 55 and 80 or 85. That's where we like to keep it. Not just for bone health, but for all kinds of chronic disease across the spectrum. High blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, various cancers, and so forth. Anyway, coming back to bone health, both for osteopenia and osteoporosis. So, I mentioned Ostera, vitamin D. Magnesium is very, very important. There's a blood test for magnesium. It's red blood cell, RBC magnesium. But this does not really tell all in terms of magnesium status. But very few labs will do the proper magnesium test, which is an ionized magnesium. A lab may do an ionized magnesium along with an ionized calcium. It tells us what those minerals are doing on the cellular level, which tells us a lot. And that's where we see if there's real deficiency or not. Make sure you're taking, I would say, 400 milligrams of magnesium. And that could be in the form of magnesium malate, which is the most bioavailable. Magnesium glycinate, magnesium taurate is very helpful. If you also have any cardiovascular or blood pressure conditions, the taurate form of magnesium is very beneficial for that. And for those suffering with constipation, magnesium citrate is helpful. And for muscle cramping, magnesium glycinate is helpful. Other things for bone health, believe it or not, we have to make sure we get adequate amounts of potassium. What's the best source? Our produce, our vegetables and fruits. Eat plenty of them, okay? Omega-3 fatty acids are helpful. Calcium. Calcium is helpful. I like the amount of calcium in a multi. Normally, in typical multis, that range is anywhere between maybe 200 and 600 milligrams of calcium. We no longer recommend to women, or anyone for that matter, to take as high as 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams of calcium anymore. And I'll remind you, and I've spoken of this on previous podcasts, if you remember, nobody is coming back with a deficiency in calcium on a blood test. Take a look at your own blood tests, your comprehensive metabolic panel, which measures all of these things like sodium, potassium, calcium. If you're deficient in calcium, yeah, take more calcium, but it's likely you're not. We rarely find a deficiency in this country. So adding more calcium for bone health doesn't actually help the problem as much. By the way, natural calcium sources, deep, you know, dark green leafy vegetables, collards, kale, broccoli, almonds, all of these, sardines with the bones. If you're a consumer of canned salmon, those bones and cartilage, they're nice and soft. Mash them up with a fork or a spoon and eat them. If you're making any homemade soup or stock, the calcium from the carcass, from the bones of what you're simmering in the pot, that calcium is being extracted and is in the broth. Bone broths are wonderful for this reason. So, Dina, strontium in the AM is fine, but don't take it unless you have full-blown osteoporosis. Please, take these other supplements that I'm recommending. And another thing for bone health is you want to make sure that you have a proper acid-alkaline balance. The body takes care of that precisely because if it didn't, we would die. So blood pH is different from a urine pH. A urine pH is not indicative. However, Mother Nature has already given us a proper acid-alkaline balance in our natural foods diet. The acidic foods being animal products like meat, poultry, fish, all of that, and alkaline being all of our produce. Eat equal amounts of those during the day, maybe a little smaller on the animal portion because we don't need as much to feel full. And you're basically taking care of your bone health in a really, really good way. Strength training exercise is imperative. Doing cardio is great, wonderful for your heart and your lungs. Beautiful, great for blood pressure if you have borderline or high blood pressure. But strength training really, really, really does it. I think a wonderful form of strength training is hatha yoga. When you're in downward dog, you're really stressing those muscles in your shoulders, your back, your legs. When you're doing a chaturanga into upward dog, you're basically doing a push-up, all right? Warrior one, warrior two, crescent pose. These are all variations on the lunge. You're really dynamically using your big muscle groups, your thighs, your hamstrings, your butt. And by maintaining that position, that asana for over a minute, you're really stressing those muscles. And via the ligaments, you're stressing your bones in a very, very, very good way and helping to keep your bones strong. Thank you, Dina, for your question. I have another question here from Diane. Diane writes, "Hi, Layla. My question is about supplements. I was diagnosed with stage 3A breast cancer, hormone receptive in December. In other words, hormone receptor positive in December of 2011. I had a bilateral mastectomy, chemo, ovaries removed, which is an oophorectomy, radiation and reconstruction. Due to being on Arimidex for 10 years, I worry about bone density. I currently take vitamin D, calcium, and flaxseed. Someone told me I should be taking a B-complex also. I want to do everything to keep my bone density strong. I know exercise is great, and I must say I do not do enough of that. Thank you for your time." Diane, thank you for your question. You appear to be in the recovery process for quite amount of time if you've been taking Arimidex for 10 years. Yes, for those taking Arimidex, I remember tamoxifen was another popular drug for positive hormone receptor positive breast cancers. The fact that you've had your ovaries removed, this is another source of hormones which, you know, because you had a hormone receptive positive, you had a hormone positive breast cancer, that is usually indicated. And Arimidex will help to keep hormones lower. And what happens? It's kind of throwing Diane into a false menopause. Now, Diane, I don't know how old you are, but anyone who has had hysterectomy or oophorectomy, they kind of go into a menopause anyway. And you know, it's after menopause where most women are diagnosed with osteopenia and osteoporosis, especially osteoporosis. So it's important, as I was answering Dina's question before, to take bone health supplements. If you do have osteoporosis, and again, Diane, I don't know how old you are, strontium is indicated. Ostera is indicated. Have your vitamin D levels checked. Diane, because you've already had cancer and have been treated with both surgery and treatment like chemo and radiation, you want to keep your vitamin D levels closer to 80, 85. I'd never want to see your vitamin D levels under 55 at any time in your life. We still want to limit calcium unless, Diane, your blood tests show that your calcium is low. And another thing is, you want to maintain a healthy weight. This is imperative for anybody with a history of breast cancer, but especially a history of a hormone-positive breast cancer. Now, Diane, I want to also warn you of, first of all, someone told me that I should be taking a B-complex also. For those people who've already had an established cancer or a history of cancer, we have to be careful with folate, the amount of folic acid in a supplement. Now, We don't recommend mega doses of folate. For example, if you had a high homocysteine and somebody gave you something like MethylGuard Plus, where you were taking a very high mega dose of folate, this can actually enhance estrogen production. It's like an estrogen maker. So we would never recommend that for you. However, the amount of folic acid in a multi might be as little as 200 to 400 micrograms. Take this with some caution, but most of all, I would prefer you get your folate from your food. All of your dark green leafy vegetables, yellow, orange, and red vegetables, they're there. Folate is in your meat, but especially organ meats like liver. Enjoy those. I would caution you away from any DHEA supplement for your bone health. I know that Dr. Hoffman and I have successfully treated full-blown osteoporosis by giving women strontium, Ostera, some calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, omega-3 fatty acids, making sure they get enough potassium, but also DHEA. Diane, DHEA would never be indicated for you because it's a hormone, and it's the substrate where other hormones are made, like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, which is exactly what the Arimidex you're on is fighting. So no DHEA for you. Let me get further into Diane's question here about estrogen dominance, because it's typically estrogen dominance that is the feeder of hormone positive breast cancers. So here, coming out of the Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, let me tell you here what they write about it, that estrogen dominance is a destructive health condition where estrogen levels are too high in relation to other reproductive hormones. Since it's rarely acknowledged in the conventional medical community, you likely need to take your health into your own hands to diagnose and overcome it. Although here at the Hoffman Center, Dr. Hoffman normally looks for estrogen dominance in those who may be prone to it. Below is a list of 5 causes of estrogen dominance that you need to be aware of, which are often overlooked in the estrogen dominance literature. Hidden cause number 1. Ready, ladies? Excess body fat. Excess body fat. Fat cells store large amounts of aromatase. This is an enzyme that creates a very potent type of estrogen called estradiol. The more fat cells we have, the more estradiol that is created. And a high estrogen cues your body to make more fat cells. It becomes a vicious cycle. High estrogen also causes an increase in the production of sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG, which makes testosterone unable to do its job because it binds to it. And then when we have decreased testosterone because of high SHBG, we have reduced muscle mass, because without testosterone, we're not going to get the muscle mass that we need. And then we have increases in fatigue, lower stamina and energy, and this interferes with our exercise efforts. So these factors combined increase body fat accumulation, cause estrogen levels to rise even further, and worsen estrogen dominance symptoms, creating a vicious cycle which can be hard to break. Another hidden cause of estrogen dominance, alcohol. There's a well-established link between alcohol consumption and high levels of estradiol, which is a type of estrogen that's most often associated with estrogen dominance and hormonal cancers. Alcohol also lowers testosterone. So does marijuana use. Please keep this in mind, ladies. For those of you who consume alcohol and are users of marijuana, even just occasionally, recreationally, this will lower your testosterone. The association occurs because our liver is responsible for clearing toxins from the bloodstream, including alcohol and estrogen. So when we drink, ladies, our livers become preoccupied with eliminating the alcohol toxins, the acetaldehyde, which is a byproduct of alcohol, which is very toxic, which reduces its ability to clear estrogens from the system. This is why alcohol is a problem. Alcohol is also a destroyer of B vitamins. And those who do not have cancer, folate is a protector, is a preventive of cancer. Alcohol destroys folate. A little bit of a double-edged sword there with folate. Another hidden cause of estrogen dominance, caffeine. Caffeine consumption stimulates the adrenal glands. We're talking about coffee, tea, Red Bull, any other beverage that you consume that contains any amount of caffeine. It stimulates adrenal glands, causing them to release stress hormones that prepare the body to fight. Catecholamines and also cortisol. You've heard me speak plenty about cortisol and its ability to make us store fat. So, regular consumption of caffeinated beverages will exhaust the adrenal glands and cause them to stop releasing adequate levels of essential hormones. Insulin is one of those hormones, and the impaired insulin causes blood sugar fluctuations, which in turn leads to chronic inflammation. All this chronic spewing of insulin is really going to wear out the pancreas. But did you know that high levels of insulin are also intimately associated with cancer? We've known that since the 1980s. So, if you have excess body weight, you are likely insulin resistant. There may be too much insulin floating around. This can feed a cancer. It causes inflammation. And inflammation is increasing oxidative stress, results in more reduction of testosterone and progesterone, both of which are required in order to keep estrogen levels in check. Another hidden cause of birth control is birth control. Birth control pills flood the body with synthetic estrogen that is both foreign and unnatural. And our bodies metabolize these synthetic estrogens into harmful versions of estrogen, which increase estrogen dominance symptoms. Birth control pills also increase the production of sex hormone binding globulin. It also increases our glucose intolerance, ladies. And this also lowers testosterone and makes estrogen dominance even worse. Birth control pills also suppress the production of natural progesterone. And progesterone is needed to balance the estrogen. And a fifth hidden cause, animal products. But I'm speaking specifically of conventionally raised animals, the factory farmed animals that are even more harmful because they're often injected with synthetic estrogens to fatten them up and make them grow quicker. Not only are they injected with these hormones, they're also given antibiotics. This is more work for our heroic livers to detoxify, making it harder then for the liver to detoxify any excess estrogen made endogenously in our systems. So, these are some of the hidden causes of estrogen dominance. Thank you, Diane, and thank you, Dina, for your questions. I invite you to email me your questions at radioprogram@aol.com. And thanks again for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.